Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, on this day you revealed your Son to the nations by the leading of a star. Lead us now by faith to know your presence in our lives and bring us at last to the full vision of your glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Look at that Christmas creche behind you. Hi, Lilith. Turn around and look at this. I want to draw your attention to the camels. Do you see the camels? Where are they? There they are, way back there on the right. Those are beautiful animals. Look at those long eyelashes. This scene shows three wise men or kings coming with gifts, offering them to the child who's in the manger with Mary and Joseph. But if we were really particular and really stuck on doing exactly what the Bible says about how this story turns out, those kings didn't arrive for months, and Jesus wasn't still in a manger. They were in a house. And when the kings arrived at the house, they offered a blessing to the house, not only to the blessing for the baby, but for all who lived in the house. And we have a tradition. Do you know what a tradition is? What's that word mean, tradition? Okay, so you do it year after year, the same thing. Tell me a tradition in your family. What was one of your Christmas traditions? Okay, go to church on Christmas Eve. That's a tradition. Well, there was a tradition in the early church after this story of the kings who came to bring honor and worship to Christ in his home. There is a tradition that on Epiphany and in the season of Epiphany, we ask God to bless our house too with all of the comings and the goings in our house. How many times do you think you have walked through the door of your house?
1,000.
Two times? Maybe more than that, because when we go and when we come and other people come to your house and visitors come and you come in and out, we have a prayer that says, God, bless our coming and our going. Let's go bless this house. We're going to do that right back here. We're going to bless it on this door. So come on back. And if there's any other children that decided to stay in the pews, come on back because we need your help. Okay. So take a piece of chalk. Wait your turn, please. We're going to make letters and symbols. Take a piece of chalk and line up behind Ian. Ian's number one. Line up. Take a piece of chalk. Reese, do you want to be in the line? No? Okay. So we're going to, it's right on the front page of your bulletin. It tells us how we're going to mark our house. Those three kings have traditional names. Their names are Casper, Melchior, and Balthazar. I knew a guy named Balthazar. Balthazar.
Sounds like the evil guy from
Star Wars. He's one of the kings. So we're going to use those initials. What is an initial? The first letter. So we're going to use the initials. But if we spoke Latin, CMB, it would mean Christ bless this house. So the three kings came and we blessed the house and we mark it with that sign. And we want to do it for this year. What year is this?
2018.
Elaine reminded us of that. It's no longer 2017, it's 2018. So we're going to use those numbers as well. And then we're going to put four crosses in that initial and that year because we are asking God to bless our house four seasons of the year and four directions that people come. North and south and east and west, whatever direction anybody comes to our house, to this house, receives a blessing when they come in the door. Okay, so Ian, do you want to start right up here? Oh, wait. First I have to... What do you think I'm doing here? Yeah, I'm taking away last year's blessing. Okay, last year's blessing is gone. We need this year's blessing. So the first thing we put up there is 20. Make it nice and big. Make it real big. There. Okay. And then we need a cross and... a cross and a C. Cross and a big C. Okay, thank you. And now we have, 18 cross B. Okay, make a cross. Yep, another cross after the C. So we're going to go... east and west and north and south and spring and summer. Okay, thank you. And then we need an M. An M, nice and big. Okay, and then we need another cross. Sam, can you get up there and make a cross? And we need a B. Can you make a B, Lilith? All right.
Okay, I'm going to hold you, okay?
Take one more step.
One more step.
Okay. Can you write a B?
Write a B.
All right.
Yep. Nice.
Oh, great. Okay, we jump down. There you go. Thank you. And we need a cross and an 18. So go right beside the cross, beside the B. There. Another cross. And then an 18. 1, 8.
Nine.
All right. And now we're going to say the prayer. So would the congregation, would you please pray the prayer? Peace be upon this house and to all who entered here. Let us pray. O God, you revealed your Son to all people by the shining light of a star. We pray that you bless this home and all who live here with your gracious presence. May your love be our inspiration, your wisdom our guide, your truth our light, and your peace our blessing. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, I want you to put that chalk in your pocket, if you have a pocket, or give it to your mom or your dad. Take it home. The prayer of blessing is here. You can do this on your house, on your door when you get home. And for those of you that don't have a little one here, there's a little box with chalk in it. You can take chalk. You don't have a pocket? Maybe your mom does. She's probably got a purse that she can drop it in. Okay, and now off to Sunday school, children.
A reading from Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Word of God, word of life. A reading from Ephesians. This is the reading that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant, according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me, to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. Word of God, word of life.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord. It was dusk, getting dark, and the man was on his hands and knees on the street corner under the street light, searching for the keys that he had dropped. And he was joined by his neighbor, who helped him search. And after some time looking and looking, the neighbor said, "Are you sure this is where you dropped your keys?" And he said, "Oh, no, I dropped them in my back garden, but the light is so much better here." We're searching. We're seeking. And sometimes we're looking for the right thing, but we're in the wrong place. Or we're looking for the wrong thing in the right place. Today we celebrate Epiphany, this feast that focuses our attention on the light that leads to Jesus, on the search and in the joy in finding the Messiah. This is the last of the Christmas season, the 12th day of Christmas. Oh, 12 Lords a-leaping? We celebrate that glorious light that leads us to Jesus. The Sundays from now until Lent will, in the Gospel of Mark, will lead us to hear more about who that Jesus is, who he is. And in Mark's Gospel, he is very clear on helping us to see Jesus as the Son of God. That revelation continues from now until Lent, when we have those, when our season changes again. We are seekers, but only if we're looking in the right place will we find. And only if we're looking for the right thing will we find. The Magi knew who or what they were looking for, but they didn't know where to look. So they asked direction. They sought advice. They searched the stars. They were looking and asking and seeking. They were not passive in their search for the Messiah. They searched the stars. They were astrologers. That's a better word for them than kings. We call them kings because they're mysterious men or women. We don't know. People from the East. We don't know how many. We say three because there are three different gifts named, but there could have been two. There could have been 70. We know that it's plural, but that's all we know. We don't know when, although they were in the house, not in a manger, so it was late. They should have asked directions earlier. They could have gotten there sooner. And the gifts that they brought?
If they were men.
Thanks, Betty. So they searched the stars. And there's a certain romanticism in stars, isn't there? You know, we hear lovely songs. Here we are, although we're apart, we're looking at the same moon and wishing on the same star. There's a certain romanticism in a starlit sky. They're romantic in themselves. And there's also a certain truth in stars. For centuries, sailors have navigated the oceans by means of watching the stars. The Magi, the astrologers that we hear about today, studied the stars, and they followed that star that led them to Bethlehem and to the Messiah. That same star still shines over Bethlehem, telling the Magi where Jesus is. That same star shines today. It shines over Syria and Korea, Washington, D.C. and Moscow. It shines over Israel and Palestine, over South America and North America. It shines over Democrats and Republicans, over socialists and communists. It shines over Muslims and Christians, Arabs and Jews, atheists and evangelicals. It shines over people who name themselves binary or non-binary, and on people who don't know what they want to be named. It shines over rich people and poor people and everyone in between. The truth of the star shining at Epiphany is the great expanse of God's love. The love of God revealed in the star that is for all people. God's love cannot be confined or limited, and all are welcome to bask in the light of God's love. But sometimes we talk as if God's light shines a little bit brighter on some more than others. God's light is brighter over my house, over my nation, over my church, my values, my political party, even my sports team, Joetta. God's light, you know, we have that feeling. But the truth is, some people just see the light brighter. Some people can see the light more clearly than others. Some people allow that light to shine more brightly in their lives. The Magi saw that star, and Herod saw that very same star. But how they responded to that was so different. The Magi saw that star, and they knew its meaning, and they followed its leading. They were overwhelmed with joy. When Herod saw that star, he was frightened. And because the king was afraid, the whole city of Jerusalem was afraid. He was frightened. The response of the Magi to the star was to follow, to pay homage, and to offer gifts. The response of Herod to that star was to offer lies and to plot murder. That same bright light of the Epiphany star, but very different responses. Joy or fear. Truth or lies. While it's true that the same star shines on all of us, it's also true that some of us live in more darkness than others. Some nations and some peoples, some families, sometimes are just more dark than others without much light at all. The prophet Isaiah says, "Darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples." Life can be overwhelmingly dark at times in our own personal stories. We search the dark sky looking for even a flicker of light. Our own lights can seem so dim at times, and that fragile light of our own peace and happiness, our health and our even our hope are too easily snuffed out. But hear this good news. There is one light that will never be snuffed out. There is one light that always shines in the darkness. It is the light that the darkness cannot overcome, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And in the midst of the darkness of our world, we keep our eyes focused on that one light that is Jesus Christ. And we hear the words of the prophet Isaiah, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Yes, darkness is real in our lives, but the bright light of Jesus Christ is more real, more true than any darkness. The Epiphany star invites us to follow just as the Magi did. Navigators, especially sailors, have always used the stars for guidance. And there are millions of stars in the sky, but there's only one North Star, that North Star that is used for navigation. I was thinking about this earlier this week, and I thought, you know, I've seen a lot of tattoos of the North Star. And one of my pastor friends here in San Diego has a very nice North Star tattoo on his arm. And you know, so I suppose North depends on which way you're standing with his North Star. But I was interested because I've seen a lot of people have, I'm not going to ask, but does anybody have a North Star tattoo or a star tattoo? So I Googled it to see if it was indeed the most popular tattoo. And it's not. But the most popular symbol tattoo, words are very popular, but the most popular tattoos, this was in 2016, so we're dated, but it was, the first one was a heart, second one was a rose, third one, I don't get, Roman numerals, and then the North Star. So in the top five. It's very popular in the sense that we are always seeking direction. We're looking for guidance. We're looking for the way that we should go, the thing that we should do. Jesus is our North Star, leading us, directing us, that bright light that leads us to Him. The navigation system leads us to Jesus. And it's an interesting thing that Jesus is not only what we seek, but Jesus is also calling us. He's our path, and He is our destination. Jesus is seeking us as well. Always leading, always seeking. Jesus is the lover of you and of me. We're looking for the right place. The star is bright. And the star is brighter here. Brighter here when we break open the word and the meal that is shared from this table. The bright light of Jesus Christ, giving us Himself, our Epiphany star. Amen.